Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Ixus Network. Hi, I'm John Hannity, and I welcome you once again to my broadcast. This is a continuation of last week's broadcast because of the time I had to cut off what I was about to say. I ended the broadcast with a warning from the Word of God about God's wrath against those who pervert little children. I want to continue with that just for a little bit, but that isn't the total substance of my message today, so please listen to all that I have to say. As I mentioned, that the children are being abused in many ways, both by sexual orientation, and I've mentioned that before in how I describe that, but even the television cartoons and the internet cartoons for little children have the various inconsistencies of life in that. Besides using the term OGM, which we know using God's name for any reason other than worship or speaking of God is a sin. God's word is, or name is not a byword, and so OMG, no matter who says it, is actually taking God's name in vain. So that's just something that is out there, but it's in cartoons, and so kids are learning that early, even if the parents are Christians and never use that phrase. They still come up with that because of cartoons. There are some cartoons that have little boys playing with girl things and dressing that way. It makes it seem totally innocent for children to see that and adopt that, whether they do knowingly or not. They are exposed to that, plus their school and their teachers may indicate something about that. And certainly the idea of some schools making kids dress the opposite of their gender just to see how the other people feel is an indication that they have no clue that God says that a man shall not wear women's clothing, nor shall a woman wear men's clothing. It is an abomination. It is an indication of their character. It isn't so much that women in the wintertime used to wear slacks. There's a difference in that. I was in a church one time where one really Pharisaic woman told me that, called her by name and said, look there, she's got long pants on and it's a sin against God. And it was a freezing day in the winter. The wind was blowing. The snow had fallen. It was a cold, cold morning, and this lady wore slacks. It was not men's clothing. She didn't put her husband's overalls on. She wore slacks made for women. And this lady, who sanctimoniously called me over and said, look what she has on. Isn't that an abomination to God? My response to that was, thank you, May. You have just sent the entire country of Scotland to hell. It isn't a matter of long pants or short pants or kilts that makes the issue. The issue is, what is that in the man or woman who wears those things? It was a matter of survival, just because this farm lady was feeding her livestock, cold snow, a dress would not be appropriate. And she came to church wearing those cold clothes, keeping her as warm as possible. And this other woman, who was so pharisaical, was jumping up and down, almost calling her a pagan, and wanted me to justify that terrible, terrible plight that she was pouring onto her. The idea of the clothing in the Old Testament that said God has a way of distinguishing people, and especially if they go against that grain and dress inappropriately, trying to be somebody that they're not or represent somebody who they are not. God sees that as an abomination to his creation, and he has no qualms about the culture and wrath against it. And that's true today. God still has that same concern. And as I mentioned before in the scripture of Matthew 18, whoever causes a child to stumble, it is God's wrath against those people. I also was getting to the fact that in our country, there is an extreme amount. Well, this is worldwide, by the way, but I can't do anything about anything because my broadcast only goes to North America and Canada. So I can only deal with that on my broadcast to those areas. But child pornography is a serious crime against children. And whether adults participate in a literal physical abuse of the child, or whether they just film that and send them out for somebody else who is sick in the head and sinful and reprobate, completely lost their consciousness of God, would enjoy such of those films. Child trafficking for sex is really a crime. This is a world condition, and but it's also going on here in America, that they would steal a kid, kidnap him, and sell him to a black market concern that would use that child, no matter how old that child, no matter what gender that child, would use that child as a sex object. That is a damnable offense against the purity of children. And God knows that, and it's building his wrath against those things. And one of these days it's going to come full fold, and I don't mean that lightly, and nor do I mean that jestingly. I mean there's a time coming when God is going to take his wrath and deal with those situations appropriately, and it will be the end of everything as we know it, for the world is so sinful. And most places in this world, even in where my message goes, there are very few Christians, according to the population of those countries, Canada and America. The Christian is in total minority. Of course, we've always been in minority, even in the first century. Rome was against the church. The conduct of the Roman citizen was anything goes. I did a research on that. I have a book I started, never got it finished, but I got 93 pages into it, and it's all documented through other historical events and writers. The Roman Empire in the first century was drunk, drugged, and sex-craved. And Roman citizen, no matter who they wanted, they could take as a sex object. No matter if it's a boy or a girl or a woman or a man or an animal, it didn't matter. They could do that, and it was legal in the Roman Empire because they thought that was interesting and thought it was okay. And when the church came on, of course, it was fighting that, and Rome hated the church. They hated the truth because it was showing the darkness and the sin of people. There's so much to be said about the first century church being persecuted, and as you read the book of Revelation, that is the persecution of the church in the first century, and on to the second century, actually. And so the persecution of the church has always been a thing. There's a book by David Limbaugh, who is Rush Limbaugh's brother, but don't hold that against him if you do not like Rush. David Limbaugh is a Christian. He lives in St. Louis, and he wrote a book, which I have read. It's called Persecution. And he shows in America the last 30 years how laws have been passed in favor of the sin rather than the church. They are protecting the sins of the world, and they are making sure the church doesn't preach against it, and the laws are making such that a Christian who would preach against such laws would be considered hate crime and imprisoned. And in some countries, the broadcasts are edited before. I know there's some preachers of this country that have to have a generalized message because they can't be specific with sin, because it goes around the world, and some countries would not let it in if it was so specific against sin. Now, that's a true statement, but as far as my broadcast is concerned, it's a matter of just sowing the seed or turning on the light and let it shine where it is. And, of course, sin doesn't like the light. It hides, and it tries to put up barriers to prevent the light from being shown. And so there's a persecution against the church. Some churches have really had some legal problems because they do not comply with the laws of the land that are against preaching the gospel. And I recall John MacArthur's church in California, who would not shut down because he said, and I believe this to be true, not just because he said it, but because I believe it's true also, that the church is not a government thing. And if you want to shut down all the shops and stores, they don't have a recourse, but the church does not belong to the government. And so John MacArthur refused to shut down his church, and they met, and he said it increased greatly during that time because other people's churches were shut down, and he was threatened with jail and fines, and through courts, he was exonerated, and it just goes to show standing up against the bully oftentimes will win. But it's the truth of the matter that this world is after the Christians. There's a movie that just came out. Actually, it came out several years ago, but Disney owned it and wouldn't release it, called Sound of Freedom by Tim Bullard. And Tim was doing a research on child trafficking. And right now, it just broke the media because some other company bought the movie from Disney, and now they're showing it. And that movie has had very bad reviews from the media because the media wants to cover up child pornography. Why? Because those people who own the movies, who own the media, are being exposed. And they don't want it to be exposed. So all their minions, such as the stations or the networks, they bow to their owners, and they are trying to blackball this movie. But it is a tremendous true story of what's going on with children in around the world and also in our country. Men of high status, wealthy men, filthy wealthy men. This is so sick that these old codgers would buy children to have relationships with them. And this movie exposes that going on. And the media, which is owned by Satan, is against that movie, and it's really a problem. Kids aren't really concerned about the pride or aren't really concerned about cross-dressing. They don't even understand that. They just want to play with their friends. And so they're innocent, totally innocent, naive, but innocent. And God has a wrath against those who would violate the innocence of children. Now, I want to read for you some passages today that deals with all kinds of sin, but particularly right now, It deals with a kind of majors on sexual sins, but it isn't limited to that. It comes out of Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. Romans 1, verse 28 to 32, and I'm going to read that. And don't forget, I have eye trouble, so it's difficult for me to read. I have a magnifying glass, so you'll just have to put up with my reading skills. But verse 28 beginning says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them up. He gave them over to depravity. That means because they are so bad, God says, look, if you're not going to be fixed, just stay that way, okay? You're just going to be wrathful fodder for my wrath. And he goes on to say, the depraved minds to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Oh, my word. I just wrote the epitaph of American culture. If we do not understand this, God is saying, in fact, I think there is a place where God used to bless our country very much, especially during the war, where people were very religious, called for God, called on God for help and deliverance and guidance. And though it was a bloody war, we came out favorably. Our allies won against the two fronts of evil, the Japanese imperial wickedness, and also Germany in that fascist movement of Hitler. It was so bad that a lot of people put it out of their mind, because it was a testimony of how evil people can be. And to fight for that, it was atrocious. But anyway, this passage of scripture even deals with the home front, where the kids will disobey their parents. These are sins that God says is going on. And ever since the foundation of the church till now, this is a matter of behavior. This is not prophetic at all. It's a statement of God made that's going on. People do these things. They invent evil. That's kind of interesting. They invent evil. They murder. They are deceitful. Among all things, are deceitful. They're very very disobedient, very evil. And God says, for this reason, I just gave them up. God gave up. Those guys are going to hell when judgment comes. People who do those things are going to be lost forever into a fire of everlasting burning torment. Now, a lot of people don't believe in hell, but that's your problem, because God is in control of everything. And that's what he said is going to happen. And I believe God more than my own desires. That's what God said, and I believe him. I believe him. I may not see it in my lifetime. You may not see it in your lifetime. But God's going to have his revenge, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be very scary. Let me read another passage for you. The Apostle Paul, in his book to 2 Timothy, or his book to Timothy, the second epistle, chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. He says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Oh, my word. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and unloving. They'll be irreconcilable. There'll be a malice, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, and treacherous, reckless. They'll be conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people. Now, we're not trying to circle the wagons here, but it seems to me like God is saying we are a sanctified people. The church is sanctified. It's set apart. It's set apart from the world. And we need to understand that we are not to do the things the world's doing. We are absolutely not indifferent, but we are against what the world is doing. And we are not to participate in them. Now, I want to go as far as to say the movies that they make or the laws they pass that would give credence to those who abuse God's word in favor of themselves are under God's wrath. They are lovers of themselves. Actually, we go a little further than that. They are lovers of other men. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 deals with that. He called them homosexuals, those who love men rather than women. And first in Romans chapter 1, if you read the first part of that, I read the latter part of that, but before that, it talks about people who have sex, men with men and women with women. He said that is a degrading and impossible to overlook. It is abomination. It is a sin of sins to try to be sexual with the same gender. God is not quiet about this. He tells us this, and he goes on to say those who do such things, God will give them up. That means if God gives you up, then the devil has full control of you. And if the devil has full control of you, you're going to go to hell. You're going to get worse and worse and worse because the devil loves to do things like that. And for those people to whom I am speaking may not believe in the devil, you have been deceived yourself because the devil is very real. And if you don't believe that, I can't help you with that. I'm just telling you what God says. And so the second passage I want to read to you comes out of 2 Timothy also, chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 4. And this is what that says. For the time will come. Now that wasn't for the first century, but he's talking about things in the future that's going to happen. That time's here. But for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but wanting to have men that tickle their ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Oh, my goodness, how clear is that today? I'm not done. Read on. And will turn away from their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths and made-up views of life. Now, that's happening. Men are giving away from the truth. They don't want to hear the gospel. In fact, I may have someone that just started listening to this program that shut me off because they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they do not realize that in their hearts they are more sinful than they admit. They're so used to what they're doing They are so friendly with their attitudes. They absolutely have grown accustomed to the way they behave. They think that's normal because it's normal for them. But it's against the righteousness of God. And they are living in that way. They don't want to hear the truth. They would rather hear somebody that says the same thing they believe or even say things that they like, and therefore they adopt that for their own belief. And that's going on every place in this world. That's going on particularly in America because that's where I'm concerned right now. America used to be a godly nation. It used to be one that God was blessing, and the defense of our country was our commitment to all supreme God, and we knew that we were under his law. That's very rare today. Most people in this country don't even go to church. Most people in this country are totally dismissed from God's law that we live life the way we want to live. We do what we want to do. After all, we're free. We're free. Yeah, you're free to do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, friends, what you want to do, the scripture says a man his heart is wicked above all things, and he will do the things that follow his own desires. Not God's desires. They don't even look after what God wants them to do. Well, I must move on. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4, beginning with one verse down to verse 3. Let me read that. But the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, that means not in the first century church, but he's talking to the church, not the world. The world has always been away from God. The world has always hated God, and the world is not saved. Those who are not Christians are not going to heaven. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they feel about it. They're not going to heaven. I've gone to many funerals, and I've heard people say, well, he's in a better place. Lord, that guy's going to hell. He has never been a Christian. His life has never shown concern for others. He's been a selfish old man, and he has been cruel and obstinate with God's word. I've called on a couple men one time in my church in a farming community. He told me where I could go, and it wasn't to town. And he said, I don't want to hear that. And don't come back. Don't bother me again. And so I didn't, because I always give man permission. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Okay, then here's what you must do according to the scriptures. You want to go to heaven? No. Okay, fine. You're on your own, Jack. The road that leads to life is narrow and it's hard, but the road that leads to damnation and destruction is wide, and Jack, you're on it. So anyway, let me read this. But the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. You mean to tell me here's someone who is a Christian and he's going to put his middle finger up against it to God and walk away? Yeah. No. Some people say once saved, always saved. Oh, if God saved me, he cannot destroy me. He promised God can't change his mind. Well, I'll tell you what. The whole concept of putting your finger up to God, no matter what you think about yourself or who told you you were saved, my friends, God says by the fruits you will know them. And so if you have a foul mouth or a hardened heart against God, don't try to tell me you're going to heaven. It ain't going to happen. God said that he knows who loves him and who doesn't. Well, let's read on. They will fall away from the faith. They will be paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Not just erroneous thoughts, but doctrines of demons. Really? Yes, and I'm going to get into that a little deeper here in a minute. But by means of the hypocrisies, they seared in their own conscience as with a browning iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, not abstinence, but abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared, is by those who believe that they know the truth. They think they know it, okay? Now, that wasn't just a slam against the Catholic Church, but if it fits them, then turn your cheek, man, because I got another one for you. We are, in this world, people are listening to all different kinds of voices. I hear radio and TV preachers. I hear internet preachers. I listen to them. And I'll tell you what, I've never heard the ridiculous things they say in the name of God, as so many of them are claiming. If you ever watch TBN, shame on you, Inspiration Network, or Daystar, or those type of common religious, unquote, programs, then you will know the people I'm talking about. Kenneth Copeland, oh my word, Benny Hinn, but I'm just not going to name them all because I can't think of them, but Cleflo Dollar, what's his face? Jesse DePlantis, DJ Jakes, TJ Jakes, Joyce Myers, oh my gracious. Now they have a lot to say, but when they start speaking for God, they misinterpret what God has for them. Now I've listened to some of these guys, and sometimes they have a decent message because they do not even use scripture. Oh, what? Yeah, they'll talk for hours and never once quote scripture. Why? Because it's their own philosophy, their own doctrines. And some of these guys are so far off and lie. I mean, they are so far gone, but how come they're so rich? How come they, I mean, some of these guys are almost billionaires. Why? Because the people in our churches are illiterate to the scriptures. And they send money thinking these guys have the cornerstone of truth. It's called a prosperity gospel. In other words, God wants you well, and he wants you wealthy. And so you send in your money, which shows your seriousness or your concern, or as they say, sowing your seed. More that you sow, it shows your faith. And God will restore that. There's nowhere in the scripture that says that. There's nowhere that says God's going to make you wealthy. There's no place that says God's going to make you healthy. I mean, in fact, Paul, if you read all of Paul's letters, he has a friend that has been serving with Paul, preaching the gospel, and the guy gets sick, and really sick, but Paul leaves him and doesn't heal him. What? Why? Well, because God doesn't promise us that we're going to be healthy. I mean, I hear people who are young, beautiful, and come from a good home, and they've done well in school, and they say, I love Jesus. Well, I mean, I'm really happy about that. But you get those same people who grow older, who find they have some ills. They've had a few operations. They aren't as popular. They aren't as beautiful as they used to be or handsome as they used to be. And they say, I love God. Now, that's something you can believe in. People who absolutely admit that they believe in God, absolutely admit that they love God, absolutely admit they want to follow God, I can believe them. I had a woman in a church one time who was just the biggest hypocrite, gossip, old lady I've ever seen. She was always at the church doing her thing from the outskirts of the town. You look in, you think, oh, she's really a Christian lady. But to get to know her, she's so bitter. She is gossiping all the time. And her sons they don't go to church anymore because they saw the hypocrisy of her. And she got real sick, went to the hospital, had a heart attack. I went to see her. She didn't like me. And then when she came home, she had a stroke. And but she was going to town, and she was going to restaurants. People in my church were telling me they had lunch with her at a restaurant, or they saw her at Walmart, or blah, blah, blah. And so she called me on the phone one day and said, if you don't come and see me, I'm going to start calling, making phone calls to tell people that we need a new preacher. Well, that didn't frighten me at all because, you know, I'm not going to run from a fight when it comes to the Bible. So I went to see her anyway. I had her deacon and his wife go with me and went to her house, and she railed me really bad. And, oh, my word, she was so bitter. And I called her by name. I said, listen here, lady, you need to repent. I said, just give an example in your own mind that your kids aren't going to church and they don't love God because they know that you deep down don't love God either. They've seen your lifestyle. They've heard you talk. And you do not give a Christian perspective to them. And you need to repent of that. If you, in your condition, if you could tell me that you actually love God instead of bitterly complaining and hating God in your remarks, then maybe I would believe you, but I don't. And so that was on a Sunday afternoon. She died the following Wednesday. Needless to say, they didn't ask me to have her funeral. But it would have been a lost cause because I would have told the family what type of funeral I would give to such a person like that, and they would not want me and find somebody anyway who just say nice things about her. Well, I'm going to go on here. Hang on. And so people who do not understand the scriptures will live a life that is not suitable to God. They don't read their Bibles, they don't go to church, and they have their own views about God. Maybe they got them when they were little, and they grew up, and they don't know what the text actually says. They might be able to tell you the stories of Jonah and the whale, Jericho, things like that. But as far as the truth of Scripture and what God wants for us, they may not know. And so when they get older and fall in line with the world, they fall away from God. Let me read on. By verse 2, by means of hypocrisy and of liars, they seared in their own conscience. They think what they are doing is okay because they have been getting by with it for so long that they no longer care. And the last verse, men who forbid godly things. This is actually the passion of what's going on in our world. And I want to tell you, my friends, this is a true story that has to be acknowledged. Do I want to be a Christian? Do I want to go to heaven? Even more so, do I want to serve God? Do I want to do the things that would please God in my life? And if the answer is no, I'm too busy with my own life, then I would say to you, maybe you're a phony and you don't know it. The Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. This is a very important passage. I want you to listen to it very carefully because so serious is this that it affects a lot of people. Verse 10, and with all the deceitful, or all the deceptions of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. So, as to be saved. They didn't love the truth to be saved. They were either they didn't like the truth, they hated the truth, or they were unaffected by the truth. It didn't matter to them. But without a mattering, they will never be saved. Verse 11 says, for this reason, God will send upon them a delusion, a deluding influence, so that they will believe a lie. Why? Well, because they don't love the truth, then I'll just let you believe whatever you want to do. This is when God gave them up. Because God says, I'm tired of you. If you want to be saved, if you want to hear the gospel, if you want to be rebellious in your ways, I don't have time for you. Even when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, you go to the house. If they receive you, great. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet and move on. This is how God is saying, I have a message for you to be saved. And if you don't like it, then okay, fine. It's your call. But you are on the wrong road. I'm trying to save you, and you don't like that. Verse 12, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. They didn't love the truth. So God just said, okay, that's fine. If you don't want to love the truth, that's where it goes. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, this is really an interesting thing because God is very, very powerful in this statement. Verse 11, chapter 22, he said, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy stay that way, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. God is not going to make anybody a puppet. If you don't want to do the way God wants you to do it, then he's going to give you permission to go ahead because you have totally lost concern for God, and you're just on your own. You rebel against parents. You do things. You say things that is not nice. You treat others in abuse. God says that's my wrath against you. And if you want to continue doing that things, then that's the way it goes. Well, I have a passage for you. It comes out of Psalm 40, verse 2. Psalm 40, verse 2 says that he pulled me up from the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock. The solid rock, of course, is Jesus. The miry clay, like quicksand, is sin, and it keeps pulling me down. That's what happens when people have a habit of sin. They keep it up, and they get deeper and deeper in it. That's what happens with drugs. That's what happens with pornography. That's what happens when people disobey God. They think they get by with it, and the next time they're disobeying God more often, and finally they totally disregard God and do whatever they want to do. Well, there's TV preachers out there that are saying things that aren't true, and our churches, the real churches, the Christian church, the church are being deceived because they think that's what they should do. My friends, Jesus says simply, what is the truth? I am the truth, I am the way, and I'm the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. Brother, you must listen to this. Sister, you must not turn your eyes from the truth. You must hear what God has to say, because if you deny what he has to say, more than 400, Jesus and the apostles talk about deceit and false teachers coming into the churches. And that's what's happening. You need to read the Bible for yourself to know so you will not be led astray. This is John. I thank you again for listening. I appreciate it very much. I hope God blesses you and that you be a blessing to those in the name of God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.